Glory to you, O Lord. After this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." But Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So the rumor spread in the community that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them. And we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. Christmas is supposed to be a very joyous time. But yesterday was the feast of Stephen, the first person to die for articulating Christian faith. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Holy Innocents, one of the most haunting feasts of the year, when we remember the slaughter of the little boys aged 2 years old and under by Herod in his attempt to eliminate all possibility of a baby growing up to challenge his rule. And sandwiched in between them is this feast of St. John the Evangelist. And on this feast day, just 2 days after Christmas, we celebrate the life, witness, and works of John the Apostle. Modern scholars have often debated John's identity and authorship as regards references to him in the New Testament writings, raising questions as to who was the true author of those texts that were attributed to him. But whatever the answers to these scholarly debates, we can be confident that there really was a close follower of Jesus called John, and that he witnessed to the truth of Jesus as God among us. The Word became flesh, as the prologue to John's Gospel so famously and eloquently puts it. So who was he? Well, we know that John was a Galilean fisherman, and he and his brother James, the sons of Zebedee, were called from mending their nets to follow Jesus. Two brothers seem to have had a quick temper to their character, as Jesus named them sons of thunder. Of the 12 closest male followers of Jesus, John was clearly part of that inner circle, along with Peter and James. The three of them were present both at the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain, and also at Jesus' agony in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest. Traditionally, John has been associated as the beloved disciple who leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. John clearly had a very intimate relationship with Christ. As Jesus was dying on the cross, it was to John that he entrusted the care of his mother Mary, and vice versa. It was John who ran with Peter to the tomb on the morning of the resurrection, and seeing the empty tomb, believed. And in the final chapter of John's Gospel, when 7 of the disciples go fishing in the Sea of Tiberias, it is John who first recognizes Jesus standing on the beach. According to tradition, John was exiled to the island of Patmos and spent his last years at Ephesus, where he is thought to have died at a great age. Saint Jerome wrote that when John was too old to preach, He would simply say to the assembled people, love one another. That is the Lord's command. And if you keep it, that by itself is enough. And so we are comforted that he actually wrote the fourth gospel, three letters, and the book of Revelation. But, as I mentioned earlier, modern scholarship has seriously questioned the authorship and historical value of all these writings. But nevertheless, from a perspective of faith, what is crucial is our own engagement with these texts and the impact that those writings have upon us as individuals and in terms of our living engagement with God on a daily basis. John's Gospel is the most wonderful testament to the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And the passage we heard today comes at the end of the Gospel. Peter has just been reinstated and commissioned by Jesus. Having earlier made his threefold denial of Jesus, Peter then makes a threefold affirmation of his love for the risen Christ. But for Peter, it seems that is not enough. At times in the Gospel accounts, we catch glimpses of the dynamics of sibling rivalry played out amongst Jesus' disciples. And here, Peter's curiosity about John, the beloved disciple, gets the better of him. And so he asks Jesus of John, Lord, what about him? And in effect, Jesus tells Peter to mind his own business, reminding us that everyone's vocation is unique, and what matters is that we follow our own journey rather than be distracted by the path that belongs to another. The overwhelming message of John's Gospel is the message of light. It gives confident assertion that where the feet of Jesus tread, there is a light which follows, which is of a completely different order to anything else we experience in the world. In the context of the darkness of the world, are those bright, shining, transfiguring footsteps of Christ. And they never stop shining. Sometimes we have to look hard for them because they're crowded out by greed, jealousy and hatred. And people try to hide those footsteps behind piles of other stuff because their footsteps make us afraid and suspicious as they threaten to lead us where we don't want to go. But even so, they still don't stop shining. As John wrote in his first letter that we heard from Dawn, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In one of her Christmas television broadcasts in 2015, the Queen mentioned John's Gospel and its opening prologue in particular. She quoted that powerful verse, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Queen went on to quote an ancient Chinese proverb, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And in this year's broadcast, the Queen ended by saying, let the light of Christmas, the spirit of selflessness, love, and above all hope, guide us in the times ahead. We live in a world much troubled by darkness and death. The global scale of darkness, poverty, hunger, and death may at times make our own contributions to help alleviate the sufferings of others seem very insignificant. Yet each one of us can make a difference. As this Christmas tide continues to unfold, May we continue to deepen our faith in Jesus, the Word made flesh. And may we do all we can to help one another on that journey through this life. Let us be beacons of Christ's love in our communities. And let us light a candle of hope rather than curse the darkness. And may the light of Christ guide us in all things, always. Amen.